glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt
His name together,
all of us. Rob, let's exalt His name together. Praise the Lord. Oh, boy, I wish I could have recorded all of our conversations. I think we touched on topics about the Chinese government, politicians. We covered family matters.
It's a call-in show. What's your question?
Dear Mark.
That's right.
It was classic, and I appreciate your senses of humor. And just the fun we had, the prayer time. And here we are on a Wednesday, a Prime Life Times in Review Wednesday, where we share stories out of our beloved Prime Life Times, which continues to grow and expand. And when I'm able to finally announce when the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, gives us the go-ahead, and we officially oversee and acquire these 15 new stations that will continue to broadcast the God-honoring message of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be probably initiating some growth in the Prime Life Times towards either Springfield or Decatur or Bloomington and then further west. And
you're going to need people to carry those papers out.
Yep, people, volunteers in that area, and then writers to be content contributors.
Definitely.
Potential
Mark, maybe I could walk back across Illinois the other way and pass out papers this
time. That's right. You know, a whole big paper cart with you.
Yeah.
So it's Wednesday, it's the 22nd. Wow, already 22 days in this new month, this new year, this new decade.
We're almost to Tet in Vietnam and almost to a Spring Festival in China and Lunar New Year celebrated throughout the Orient.
I want to say I knew all that.
Yeah,
I did know about Chinese New Year. That's on the end of the month, right?
Yeah, I guarantee you that Mark's wife knows about it.
Sure.
Yeah, and she's been talking about the younger Chinese aren't as traditional and committed to celebrating it, where some of her older friends in like 50s, 60s, 70s, they're doing special meals and, oh, Holly, we'll do these dumplings for you and some of these other things. So, Holly said it's interesting, though, the younger generation aren't as traditional, or it's not as significant.
No, that happens.
But they like the weeks off work.
Yeah,
there you go.
We all like that.
Yeah, so, we do.
If you tuned in Monday, a quick review. Steve Carmichael was our special guest on Memorization Monday as we worked on 1 Corinthians 10:13. That program is archived. And then yesterday, Louis Gervais, former missionary in Africa. Well, I guess once a missionary, always a missionary. But God had a unique calling on bringing him back right here to Central Illinois.
It sure was unique.
To attend Parkland College, but God put some impressions on his heart and mind for...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if you missed yesterday's program, it's archived.
It's worth tuning in.
A really neat God-sighting story.
Yeah. He's a neat young man.
GreatNewsRadio.org.
Parents for South Africans.
Very neat. That was yesterday. And today, being the Prime Life Times in Review, one of our favorite content contributors, Rob Seidenberg, married to the beloved Mary.
Yes.
And he's in to share a couple stories that he's written and
he's
give us some background.
Also our copy editor, but today he's wearing his hat of content contributor.
Yes. So, Marianne, you being our editor-in-chief, like Rob comes in and says, well, I have this story, this story, this story. Rob, yes, we know what stories you submitted. I edited them. I looked at them. I'll tell you which ones you're
going to... I did not act that way.
And I said, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And she laughed.
Oh, my word.
How high do we jump, Marianne?
Okay. Well, okay. We got some trouble.
We love
here.
You very much.
Yeah, we need to...
We're going on the record.
We need to fix this.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not act that way.
No, you did not.
No,
thank you.
No.
Okay.
We admit.
All right. So we have two. We have the column called Wordsmith's Workshop, which actually, if you haven't read this, you get some previous copies of the paper. This is one of the best helpful English language columns I've seen in a while because it's humorous, but it gets important points across.
I'm blushing.
And it's okay. And we also have a second column that you write every month, Rural Memories, and it has quite a following, including myself. I'll just say this first. You evoke so much atmosphere and the way it was back in the rural days of long ago.
Pretty long time ago.
So which one should we read first? Let's read Wordsmith's Workshop.
Okay. And as I'm looking at this, it's on A15 of the January edition of the Prime Life Times. On the left side of the page, I see that El Toro Mexican restaurant coupon.
Yes.
so many people have turned those in at that El Toro that they renewed their advertising for
serious?
6 more months.
Oh. Well, and that's the one in Danville, right?
Yeah, this is the one in Danville.
I like that one. I've
we might
there.
Just have to head over there and use the coupon.
Let's do it.
That's right.
Hey, there we go. See if we can get the boss to
choose. Yeah, we appreciate those of you that take advantage of some of the advertisers and their offerings or their deals or their specials, or in this case, this coupon. So if you live in and around the Danville area or are heading to Danville, there's a $2 off coupon on a purchase of $10 or more. So it's like 20% off or $4 on $20.
Or even if you don't live there, just kind of get in the car and have a fun little trip over.
Yeah,
in fact, like stuff like that.
In fact, when the Singing Men sang at the Danville Mall, the Christmas concert mid-December, the setup crew went there on like the Friday night.
Oh,
and then
really?
We went again on Saturday after the concert.
That's
and
fun.
I handed out coupons to people that were in the audience.
Whoa.
So a bunch of us were in there eating.
A bunch went over right
and then
at
I made
concert.
It a point to say, wow, looks like you're getting a lot of these coupons in. It looks like that was a smart move to advertise. They didn't know that I was like...
You handed them out?
Yeah, involved
that's
with
right.
the paper. But
got,
I
got them some business, more business.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, and guys, take your wife out on a date, cut out two coupons, and set at separate tables.
Oh,
and that way you can...
that has to be one of the worst pieces of advice I've heard yet.
Not, and we wouldn't classify that as a date.
I'm in a lot of trouble.
You're the marital counseling.
I hope my wife doesn't
take
business.
Your wife twice if you'd like to use two coupons and sit at the same table.
That's better counsel.
Times.
I submit to that. Well, this article, which I've hammered out in the workshop, is called Reticulation. And I have to say, I wasn't crazy about a hammer and anvil. I've done blacksmithing.
Are you talking about
like
the
that.
Logo now?
I'm talking about the little logo above it. But it's really grown in me. And Kelly, our typesetter, came up with that. And now I kind of like it. I mean, it was pretty big at first. She shrunk it down to manageable size.
I like it.
So this is called reticulation. And I have to say, before I start, Dad was a lifelong farmer, but he was a word guy. He was a wordsmith, too.
Yep.
And he read and read and read. And as he got older and started losing his eyesight, he got an Optilex so he could read. He also got large print books from the local libraries. And then he got talking books, as they called them then.
Hmm.
And so he would put his little cassette in
audio.
And read and listen at the same time.
That's cool.
And he said, hey, that stimulates two parts of my brain.
True.
I could use some brain stimulation, too. So as a child, I would hear what was for me a new word on the radio, often playing in the background while we milked the cows. Fortunately for me, my dad had an immense vocabulary, and I don't remember ever stumping him. He'd simply look up from the cow he was milking, sitting on the one-legged stool he wore strapped to his posterior, and carefully define the word I asked about.
Excuse me.
It's so funny. I've seen guys walking around. You don't see that anymore because we have milking.
We're off script now, yeah.
But I've seen this, guys. A lot of times the guy would walk around, and the stool was sticking out, and he had kind of a belt, and he wore the stool around, and then he just sat down on it. So,
for those following along at home, we are still in the first paragraph.
That's right. So he'd carefully define the word I asked about. Of course, he and my mom had bought a 3-volume dictionary with some of the money they received as a wedding present in 1941, and they used it. A quick aside, they also bought a lifetime subscription to the Reader's Digest, which my brother still gets, and the Reader's Digest said it runs another 10 years.
Oh, my.
So they would be well over 100.
So that's still being printed in, what, that's 60, 70
wow.
years?
Yeah,
41. Digest. They're still getting, their son is getting the lifetime subscription still. One such word was reticulation, though I no longer recall the context in which it was used, or some people would say the context it was used in. The verb form, to reticulate, dates back at least to 1728. I don't remember that, but when it first appeared in print, the Latin forms of the term were used in England as early as the 1650s. It means to mark, divide, or construct so as to form a network. The adjective reticulate refers to something net-like or resembling a network. A reticular leaf is a veined leaf. One could also refer to our reticulate interstate highway system, for instance. Ladies carried a reticule, a net purse, to keep things in, though the term later expanded to mean simply a small purse or drawstring bag. Reticular refers to connective collagen-containing tissue, and a reticular formation, dates from 1887, refers to the mass of nerve cells and fiber situated primarily in our brains and functioning when stimulated.
That's why so much reticulation goes on in my head.
That's what's going on,
okay,
Mark. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Our synapses, for instance, are part of that formation. And I, for one, am thankful to still have those in working order. And we say synapses fire. When they are activated, they fire. So it's a little electrical shock going through your brain. My advice to younger readers, yes, we have some,
yep,
is to matriculate to learn to be articulate. You can thus join.
Hey, let's say that one again together.
Matriculate to learn to be articulate. You can thus join the reticulate system of higher learning that comprises our fine colleges and universities. Don't hesitate. Once you graduate, you can celebrate, and so will we.
Reticulation.
Wow. You know, it's been interesting. Esther's in fifth grade, and maybe there's an age that this happens more at. I'm not sure, but she's been asking me different words almost every day as we're going to school.
And she's at exactly that time when you just start. She's always heard those words, but now suddenly she knows she doesn't know that word, and she wants to know it. So don't hesitate to define those words.
Yeah.
This is a formative time for her mind.
Yeah, I think one yesterday or the day before was like mirage.
Yeah.
And so I was
good.
Explaining, you know, and she saw it or heard it or something. And she needed more clarity.
Yeah,
so it's kind of fun. We talk
there'll
all about it.
There'll be a word
it.
A day for years now until she gets up to her 40,000 word vocabulary. You
know? Wonderful
so
advice.
That, you think about that. It takes a long time, but that's good.
That's wonderful advice.
So Marianne has proclaimed in her capacity as our editor-in-chief.
in a very sweet, inviting, and wonderful way.
Oh,
thoughtful,
thank you.
Requesting manner.
I like this part better.
She has requested that I read this rural memories column.
Cutting wood.
And she says
B1.
I evoke the kind of atmosphere that must have been going on then. But I do go back in my mind to those times, and I have a kind of a birth defect. I have memories of when I was one and one and a half.
It's
and
not
two.
A birth defect. It's amazing. Everyone says it is. You talk about things that happened when you're like two. It's three.
Well, I don't know how that is, but
it's amazing.
I've talked to my older sister. I said, hey, remember when? She said, no, I don't remember that. Well, what about, no? I don't. And she's brilliant, and she's 2 years older than I am.
People just can't, a lot of people
and
can't
she flies
remember
an
that.
Airplane, navigates, does all this stuff, and you know, I don't do any of that stuff, and she's just brilliant, and she doesn't remember those things.
Yeah, a lot of people can't remember when they were two or three. My oldest daughter has memories of being two and three, which just floor me.
Yeah, isn't that something?
No memories.
Well,
of that age.
Yeah, I know. Most people don't.
Yeah, so this is about, that's true. So this is about cutting wood, and I do have memories. I have calluses from that and everything.
Yeah, you've got calluses.
Cutting firewood could be a year-round chore. But with fewer gardening and farming tasks, lots of folks worked wood in winter, despite the liberal alliteration of the phrase. Worked wood in winter.
I like that.
Thus, we got the firewood
home. That reminds
home.
Me of those Geico commercials with the woodchucks.
Yeah.
They're reusing
or
resurfacing some of the older ones.
I love that one.
Hey, you doggone woodchuck, stop chucking my wood. He's throwing it in the lake.
Yeah.
He's chucking it into the lake.
Yeah, there's like
so
three or
funny.
Four. There's the latest one that I've seen a number of times where it's this, I think, husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're looking over this
Geico
lake.
Did not pay Mark for this.
And it's like they have their coffee mugs, and they're just like having this beautiful, quiet moment looking at the horizon or the sun rising or whatever it is. And then these woodchucks start throwing in the
wood.
And it ruins the whole moment.
Yeah.
And they're like,
that's great. I like that.
Okay, so once we got the firewood home, we used various means of splitting it. I never owned a hydraulic wood splitter. But Dad eventually got an old one, and it worked just fine.
You were the hydraulic wood splitter.
That's true.
It's like
pretty much.
Who needs a dishwasher?
Yeah.
I have the children.
That's right.
You
that's
know,
right.
That's what
right.
my wife says, yeah.
Yeah.
I mostly used a splitting maul, axe, or sledgehammer, and wedges, as Dad had taught us boys during our more formative years. Hmm. Most wood will burn eventually, given the right conditions, and that includes wet wood, meaning it has a lot of sap in it or it's been rained on. But someone once gave me some cottonwood. I roasted it well in our open fireplace over some good hardwood. It spit, popped, and made a sad moaning sound, but it never burned. A nearby lumber company sold slab wood, the very outside of the tree containing bark and cambium, and as little wood as possible. They would load my pickup with the stuff. I think it was about $10, maybe even less. Usually oak for $5. Oh, it says it was $5. I'm sure that's right. I had trouble unloading the first load, jammed tightly into the pickup bed, but thereafter I looped a chain into the bed before the slabs were loaded. At home, I backed up to an old tree, hooked the chain around it, and drove forward. That worked and easily got the wood onto the ground. slab wood has a half moon end section. Flat on the side the saw cut off, it retains the outside shape of the tree on the rounded bark side. It also smokes more than most cured firewood and leaves more ashes, and that's, of course, because of the bark.
And why do you include that? What's important about the fact of how it's been cut?
Okay, it was almost free wood. I mean, they basically charge you to load it, right?
Okay.
But sawmills have this as throwaway. And so I burned wood in this nice fireplace, and it did help heat the house. And later I would burn slab wood in a big chunk stove. So the thing about the ash is this. If you burn certain kinds of wood, the wood from higher up the tree has less sap in it, especially if you cut it in the winter.
Okay.
It doesn't smoke as much. That's important for the military for winter survival. You're hiding out there with a fire to warm yourself. You don't want a bunch of smoke advertising your position. But the ashes are very useful, too. So you just have to haul out a lot more ash if you burn slab wood. That's what's going on.
Okay.
And so I put ashes in the garden to add lime, potassium, and trace elements to the soil. I still do that, by the way. Dad stored ashes in feed bags to spread on icy pathways for better traction. Caveat. That's a Latin word that means warning, for those of you who are learning Latin this year. It's easy to track.
Caveat, colon.
Yeah. It's easy to track wood ash into the house. It's hard to clean it up afterward. I had a big pot-bellied cannon stove and a small kitchen stove with biscuit oven above. Some of you know what that means. Some of you have no idea, right? The kitchen stove's firebox was...
I don't know, but I'm getting hungry thinking about biscuits.
Oh, the
man, did that make nice biscuits. The kitchen stove's firebox was small. Late at night, I would take live coals from the big living room stove and transfer them into the little kitchen stove. That procedure kept the kitchen warm all night. I used that stove to bake bread and keep food warm, but only in the wintertime. We didn't burn wood in the summer.
And you were responsible for baking the bread? That was one of your tasks?
Listen, I was an awesome baker. My favorite story is this.
If I say so
when
myself.
When I was in college, people would say, I hear you bake bread. Can you teach me? I'd say, sure. When do you have some free time? And I'd take them out to the farm. Grandma lived there. She'd say, oh, you're going to bake bread? Great. And so I would make 12 loaves or so, maybe 16 if we had time. And I'd look in the refrigerator. If there's leftover cornmeal mush, leftover oatmeal from breakfast, leftover mashed potatoes, anything like that goes in the bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, I knew, okay, I need a little more of this, a little more of this. I did not follow a recipe, which really confused people.
Mm-hmm.
But I could write down a recipe and give it to somebody. And so I baked bread, I baked biscuits, and somebody gave me a round Pyrex tube on a metal rack, and you could bake a perfectly round loaf of bread. It was tubular, and you'd shake it out afterwards after it cooled, and then you slice it, and those were perfect for hamburgers, okay?
Oh, my.
So anyway.
I love homemade bread.
Wow. So, another area that Rob has excelled in.
I know. Scary. I got a lot more to say about this. We got to read this.
A lumber buyer showed me where worms were killing my walnut trees, ruining them for lumber. The worms worked under the bark, destroying the cambium. Within a couple of years, an infested tree would die on the stump. The recommended prevention was to cut down and burn those affected trees. I had just the method. I cut down the tree, trim off the branches, and pull the log up near the buildings with the tractor. Small branches made great kindling. Undamaged walnut is too valuable to burn as firewood. The wood of damaged trees is an excellent fuel, though not as good as oak. Guys, I looked this up. It's true. It doesn't have as many BTUs as oak, and white oak's about the best. It has the advantage of easy splitting. I could split an entire 20-foot log from the big end, just whack it hard and just split it in half. This is amazing. Red oak splits that way, too, for you guys who are trying to decide what kind of tree to burn. Then saw stove-length pieces from that split-up log. So you just go with a chainsaw and cut off your pieces and load them in the cart and take them in and put them in the wood box, right? Dad burned a lot of American elm. It has a vernacular name some of you old guys will know that we won't mention on air. But it had such a tight, twisted grain, it was nearly impossible to split. We always had several big chunks outside our basement where we boys were welcome to take out our frustrations with a sledgehammer and wedges.
That's healthy for young boys.
It is. We did get a few steel wedges buried in the tough wood, and Dad had to be very creative to retrieve them.
That's funny.
I remember having about 6 wedges, and Dad said, well, just grab another wedge. And I said, Dad, they're all in that big stump over there. Splitting off usable pieces of firewood from those big elm chunks was a real achievement, often costing hours of backbreaking work. we boys vied to outdo each other. In later years, we just cut the elm lengthwise with a chainsaw. Spoiled all the fun. Old-timers said firewood would warm you three ways. And I wrote three times, but same idea. When cutting it down, when splitting it into stove wood, and when burning it. I contest to the validity of that old saw.
Oh, great article.
Thank you. Yeah, I won a prize at my house. So. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
How many brothers did you have?
One.
Just one brother. Oh,
and three sisters.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, they did a lot of things, but they didn't split wood for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But you were the bread and biscuit cooker.
Yeah, what is what's a biscuit oven or biscuit?
Okay, a biscuit oven, they had these little flat-top stoves that people had in their houses.
Yeah.
And the firebox is really tiny, and it just goes down like an inverted pyramid almost without a point. And interestingly, the wood burned differently there because the ashes were really fine and white, whereas they were gray in the other stove.
Mm.
But I had a coal scuttle, and I would fill it full of red-hot coals and just stuff them down in there and close it. I don't care how cold it was, 20 below, it would keep that into the house perfectly warm all night long. And then in the morning, there would be these really fine white ashes there. And then we had a little insulated handle to lift up the circles on top, and that's where you put stuff in.
Hmm.
And I had a secret coal mine where I went, a big coal truck had spilled tons of truck along.
Yeah, I remember those big coal trucks.
And my neighbor said, hey, I'm giving you access to my coal mine. Don't tell anybody else.
Yeah.
And so occasionally, but I don't like the smell of burning coal, you know, but occasionally it saved, you know, it made some heat and saved a little backbreaking work.
Well, our house was heated with coal when I was young.
I don't like the smell.
Down
but
in East Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. You wanted to keep that so it didn't belch out those fumes.
Oh, that was terrifying to watch
smell.
That big coal thing. That my dad would shovel that coal in, a raging fire down there.
Yeah,
coal trucks from West Virginia had come through and deliver coal.
One of my jobs as a kid was to shovel the Dawson coal. It looks like gravel, maybe no more than half an inch in diameter, crushed up. And I would shovel it off the pickup into a window into the coal cellar. And then later we had a stoker, so we could fill that about three times a day. But we still burned wood because it saved a lot of coal.
Oh,
I just reached up on the wall and turned the thermostat.
Oh, that's good, too.
you had electricity spoiled. In your house?
Clever boy, clever.
Well, as soon as we got electricity, we also got a phone. And then the next step was to plan to build onto the house so we could have an indoor bathroom.
Ah, so it's always convenient.
We were the neighbors eating at the picnic table with Grandpa and Grandma and three generations of neighbors. And you know what happened?
I don't know, but we got to go.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
We'll save that for next month.
Next month. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.